Today, Cliff Sharp and Christy Sanford are with us from Greenhouse Ministries right here in Murfreesboro, and we're talking a little bit about the Mayor's Prayer Breakfast, which is coming up. I mean, it's directly around the corner. Cliff, what day is that going to be?
That is May 5th on Thursday, and it will be at the Embassy Suites. And we are really, really excited about it this year. Mayor McFarland has really jumped on and basically called in some chips and then really getting people to sponsor tables. Matter of fact, we already have 63 tables.
Oh, wow. Is that more than
that's
ever?
That's of 10. Yes. That's if all those come, that's 630 people. And we've still got this week for people to get their tickets.
And this
in.
Is all at Embassy Suites. How many does that room actually seat?
It holds 750.
So now, you're getting
they opened up all three sections this time, so it's going to be really big. But Mayor McFarland was really, really interested in this, just like Mayor Bragg was. You know, it's something that I think really makes a difference in our community. Boy, if we could have 700 folks out there praying together, you know, receiving getting a challenge to go and do things God's way, what a difference it can make in a community.
Now, the cool thing about the prayer breakfast, you'll see a lot of community leaders out there who are at the prayer breakfast, but also some of those community leaders invite, let's say, dock workers from the company they work for. I mean, it's just a variety of people.
Very, very widespread. And that's one of the exciting things that maybe a business owner will pay for a table. And then he'll just invite his workers, and so they're all together. And I think that has a real uniting effect.
Definitely. So Cliff Sharp with us today from Greenhouse Ministries. Also with us, Christy Sanford. Christy, is this something you look forward to every year?
It is. It's one of the highlights, simply because our community, I say it all the time, Rutherford County is an amazing place to live and work and raise your family. And to have this as a National Day of Prayer and to start the day off with a Mayor's Prayer Breakfast says a lot about our community as well. To have the mayor want to host this, you know, we've established that, and the mayor before him did a fantastic job of that. And so just to be able to carry that on, and, you know, as Dad said, Mayor McFarland has really stepped up. And as you can see by our numbers, 62 or 63 tables, that's craziness. But it makes me really excited to know that many people are interested in starting their day off that way.
And by Thursday of next week, there's probably going to be even more. And
absolutely,
I'm sure some stragglers are going to come in at the last minute, too.
Absolutely. It always happens. And having a room that is available for 750 people, we do have a few more spots, but they need to get in quick.
Now, one of the most important parts is the food.
The food is always good out there. And what we do, we'll probably get up to open the line at 6:30. We say 6:45, but with this many people, we're going to have to go ahead and get it open so people can, and when they get there, they go ahead and get their food, sit down and eat, because once we start praying, we don't stop.
Now, Cliff, what are some of the things that folks like to highlight during prayer at the annual breakfast?
Well, this year is a little different, and I'm really not sure on what the program is. Alan Jackson is coordinating the program this year, and I know that he's getting pastors to pray, whereas we have more reach toward business people. And so as we talked about it, this is what Mayor McFarland, well, we just agreed. We thought, you know, this would be good. Let's just get some of our pastors in the community. I do not have the list, but it's a good list, and he picked them out. And I know that David Young and Vince from over at Olive Branch and McCarroll and I think Brady out at New Vision, and I can't remember all of them. Alan, of course. There's 9 different areas that we've always prayed for, for the government and for the schools and the media, all of the different areas. Christy can probably tell you all the pillars, anyway, this year I think that he's just asked the pastors to really pray what's on their heart and what they want to pray to for the community and what they want to do to bless the community.
And for those who may be new to our area and they heard you say Alan Jackson's going to be in charge of helping to organize everything. We're not talking about the country music singer Alan Jackson.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that.
talking
well,
about
that would
Pastor
be good if he
that
wanted
would be
if,
good
if he wanted to.
And for the ladies out there, if that would convince your husband to go, then just go with it.
That's funny.
But Alan Jackson is the pastor of World Outreach Church here in Murfreesboro.
Right.
But it sounds like it's going to be a great event. A lot of great pastors are going to be out there to help lead in this whole thing, and it's going to be very good, very positive for sure.
Absolutely. I think one of my favorite things is, you know, this is the National Day of Prayer on May 5th. So for us to be able to come and join in on that and be a part of that, I love the just to think about the unity across the United States of the things that will happen on that day particularly. And for us to be a part of that is really important for us.
I think we have seen more unity here in the Murfreesboro area than other areas, especially over the past 5 to 10 years. I mean, when you look at how churches are working together now, and they didn't used to like they do now.
I agree 100%. I think just over the last few years, you see churches coming together. I know at Greenhouse, we've been benefiting that because there are a lot of churches that will have work days, community work days. Recently, the downtown churches joined together and came over and served us at Greenhouse. And you see more and more things happening like that. And so it really is important to continue that.
It's very positive for sure. And this prayer breakfast is going to be another one of those events where a lot of pastors are coming together from a lot of different churches, and they're helping out with this whole thing.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Now, Cliff, kind of look back to a couple of years ago. Tell us how the prayer breakfast went then and kind of what we can expect to see if you were to look back, comparing it to last year and the year before.
Well, we started 9 years ago, and Mayor Bragg and Hunter McFarland were visiting. Some information came out about National Day of Prayer and the Governor's Prayer Breakfast. And they just said, you know, it'd be great if we had something. So they started talking about it and called me and said, would you be interested in supporting this and sponsoring it? And, of course, I said, man, I would be happy to. I'd been to the Governor's Prayer Breakfast several times. But the thing that we wanted to do is pray more than have speakers, because most prayer breakfasts have a lot of speakers and not as much pray. So our goal, as we talked about it, we said, let's take these. I think there's 7 pillars. We added a couple of things to pray for, and then get people in the community. This was, you know, our goal in the first place. First year we had, maybe 150 folks. And last year we had up closer to 350. And it's been around 250 to 300 for several years. Last year was a little bit larger. And then, of course, this year it really has expanded.
Now, I've talked to some of those who have led prayer in the past at breakfasts, and some of the folks, they'll prepare a week or two ahead of time, and they'll write out a prayer and everything. Some folks wait until that morning just to kind of see what hits them.
You're right, they do. But I would say the majority of the people write out a prayer, and all of them have just been, just right to the point, I think. You know, last year, Peter Demas, I think the D&J kind of got on to him about praying, but that was just in his prayer and something coming up. And, you know, as Christians, most of us support one man, one woman, a marriage, and that was the court case that was coming up. It seemed like that that some people made a big deal out of it, but it was just part of a very great prayer about family, because Peter prayed about families last year.
You know, I guess it's important to remember that prayer is something that is very personal, and that person who is leading the prayer, whatever the prayer may be, it's something that they're feeling. So you shouldn't really, I guess, look down upon something that somebody says in a prayer if you don't like it.
Well, that's of course is my feeling. You know, it was interesting. I did some research on the National Day of Prayer, and when you said that, I thought about Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson and Andrew Jackson are the only two presidents that have not declared a National Day of Prayer. But yet, when they had a declared a state day of prayer in Virginia, after all the things that happened in Boston, Thomas Jefferson's comment was, this has brought the country together. And then he said, I'm going to read it. So he said, the effect of this day through the colony has been like a shock electricity. And you know, that's Thomas Jefferson. And Thomas Jefferson, you know, Thomas Jefferson was a believer in God, and but he did feel like that was something very personal. You know, even the Congress called all the people together. Now, Benjamin Franklin, another one of those that people don't think of being very religious, when they were at a sticking point, he said, I think that we need to stop and pray. They prayed for 2 days and then were able to get together. Prayer really works. It really does. God favors people that call on him.
When you look to the 1700s and you bring up the massacres that occurred in Boston back then in the 1700s, and then you compare that to today's times, we haven't really experienced something to that extent in America other than 9/11.
That's right. And look how people started praying, and look at the unity that happened after that. Just unbelievable.
Oh, definitely so. And I think a lot of that has continued on in a lot of ways.
It has. I think it's backed off some because, you know, a lot of times people, they feel like, well, all right, everything's smoothed out now. We can wait. But, but it definitely has.
And a lot of us who have kids, like Christy and I, my son was born in 2001. In fact, he was born just a few months before September 11th. He won't really understand it like we do as parents, because we were able to see all of the tragedy unfold as it was unfolding.
That's right.
I was thinking, too, when you were talking, you know, we did experience with Hurricane Katrina here. We were the recipients of a lot of the people that had been misplaced because of that. And that was another time specifically for Rutherford County that we joined together and really served people that came in. And I think that's a point in time that you can look back and say for our community that people rallied together. And even after the Good Friday tornado, there was a lot of community unity after that, and people getting together and praying for people and really serving. And, you know, I think about National Day of Prayer, and people wanted to, a lot of times, think about prayer being more a petitioning God. But for us, I want to just say that it's also a celebration just to thank him for what an amazing area and community that we've been able to operate in and work in and have fellowship with other people. And I think we were laughing the other day. I think we have like 380 plus churches in Rutherford County. And that's a huge celebration to think that there's that many people that are desiring to walk in that and become a community and really serve. And this day of celebration for us and Mayor's Prayer Breakfast is a great opportunity for those people in those churches and people maybe who have not found a church yet to come together and really, you know, just celebrate together.
Again, the Mayor's Prayer Breakfast coming up. And again, give us the date. It's Thursday, May the what?
5th.
May the 5th. Thursday, May the 5th at Embassy Suites Hotel and Conference Center. And with us this morning, Christy Sanford and also Cliff Sharp with Greenhouse Ministries. And Cliff, you wanted to talk about another subject that is on your mind with Greenhouse, and that involves helping folks who are in need.
That's right. Let me say one other thing about National Day of Prayer that when I was looking, I thought was really interesting. 1952 was the Korean conflict, and Billy Graham made a statement, it would be great if we would have a National Day of Prayer. And a Tennessee congressman picked up on it and really, really pushed it. I did not know this. Percy Priest, which our lake is named after.
Yeah.
Actually, I didn't even know who the lake was named after until I saw that when I was looking.
Cool.
And then President Truman declared first Thursday in May as the National Day of Prayer. But I thought it was interesting that Percy Priest was the congressman that really pushed it with Billy Graham to get it.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was very interesting, I thought.
So Percy is a man, Percy Priest. That's interesting.
Percy Priest
Lake, yeah. That's interesting.
He was a congressman from Tennessee.
In the 50s.
Uh-huh.
That's fascinating.
1952. I thought it was. Of course, I'm a halfway history nut anyway. now, let me tell you another great thing about you know, our community. One of the things that at Greenhouse that we're already always missing simply because we don't have enough manpower, and this is to really mentor people after we work with them, follow up. So we are fortunate. We get occupational therapy interns at Greenhouse, And over the past about year and a half, they have been working on a program that they're calling Hands Up for New Hope. What this does is encourages churches to basically adopt a family that's struggling and maybe help them pay their rent or utilities for 6 to 9 months, and then take them where they can really become a member of your church, part of your family. Take them home to eat with you. You know, don't go out and eat. take them home. Let them see your house. But really look to their needs. You know, help them with the budgeting and the or may need computer skills. But most churches have people within their church that can do this. If not, of course, you know, Greenhouse, we have all those classes that we can do. But can you imagine if, you know, the nearly 400 churches we have in our community, even just a few of them would do this, it would completely change our community. And the government cannot do this. They really can't. Churches have the resources, both manpower and money, you know, that we could never get from the government. And it would not be anything that would, you know, that would be hard to do. I mean, really, it's just simply discipling like Jesus called us to do.
It would be amazing. If we have, let's say, 300 churches, just for an example, and you have 300 people who are in need of getting some kind of help or a hand up in some way, I mean, that would change our community. I mean, if 300 people were able to succeed, whereas before they were not able to, that would change a lot.
Oh, it would. The thing that some of the churches that we've talked to, they said, yeah, we've tried this and we got burned. And they do. But here's the thing. If we have occupational therapy interns that can do testing. They have instruments to test. Is this person really ready to change or not? And, you know, there are a lot of homeless that are not ready to change, or a lot of this is not really aimed at the homeless as much as just aimed at somebody struggling. And it may just be somebody in your church. But to take the effort to really say, hey, let us help you. We suggest go ahead and sign a memorandum of understanding. Where, you know, this is what we'll do. This is what we'll do for 6 months. And then, you know, you're expected to come to these budgeting classes, and we'll have the classes, whatever it takes. But, again, to have a program rather than, yeah, we'll just give you something. We'll give you some help. But they've got to become part of your family.
You know, for a group of any people, even a church, to look at something and say, well, we tried it in the past, didn't work, we got burned, we're not going to do it again. For them to look at it that way, it's kind of disheartening, because that would be like me talking about my son or daughter saying, well, you know, we helped her with the test, but she didn't actually get an A like we wanted, so we're done helping.
Exactly.
We're not going to try again. You know, I mean, to look at it in that way, it's kind of sad.
Right. We have had a Sunday school class do this. We've had several churches that have volunteered and are doing this at the present time, and it's working very well. I'm visiting with a real estate company right now that I said something about this and to some of them, and they said, you know, we might be able to do something like that. So, you know, it just. Any group of people that could get together and say, hey, we would really like to make a difference in a family's life and in turn make a difference in our community.
You know, for Sunday school classes out there, I think the new code word is small groups.
Small
right,
groups. Okay.
Right.
I'm old.
<That's> right.
But for small groups out there, this would be a great project, because a lot of those small groups consist of, let's say, 10 to 12 couples. It would be easy for those 10 to 12 couples to take on a couple out there in our community and bring them into their small group and to, you know, just walk with them through the next couple of months of life and just help them out.
It is a big difference. And we think about this, and this is something tangible. People always ask us, especially at Greenhouse. I've had people stop me and say, what can I do? What can I do to help? I see people on the corner. I see families struggling in Walmart, putting things back at the grocery store where they can't afford them, those kind of things. And this is something tangible that people can do. They can really get together and make a difference in someone's life. When you can look back and say, you know, these people, these families, this single mom with her child, kids really struggling, and to pour into them and really mentor them and walk with them through life. And it's a legacy changer for her or for this family to be able to stop and turn around and look and say, if it hadn't been for this group of people or this small group or this church or this group and that really poured in and helped me get over this hump. And so this is something that is really, really the core of what Greenhouse is about, is getting people that we can pass a family on to and really have someone walk with them and not a one-time handout. And that's really what our heart is about.
And if you don't have a small group at church, then put together a group of friends.
Absolutely.
Let it become your small group and then help out somebody. Just pick somebody in the community to help out.
Absolutely. And like Dad said, I think, you know, we have tools that are available. We have budgeting classes. We have parenting classes. We have even just basic job skill classes that are available. So they don't have to do it all on their own. We're happy to partner with them and really support that. But the key is to really build relationships.
You know, and as crazy as it sounds, but the mission of going out there and finding somebody to help out is not that difficult.
No.
Because you can literally look at every street corner. You can walk into every store. You may be standing behind somebody in the checkout who is in need of help. You just need to make that first step and actually talk to them and say, hey, if I offend you in any way, I'm sorry, but is there anything I can do to help you? And then let the conversation flow from there.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely. That's the key, is just being willing to speak to someone and open yourself up for that. That's exactly right. Or they can just follow you and follow somebody that has their picture taken and say, okay, here we go, here's somebody. But it's really exciting to me to think that the awareness is becoming more prevalent, because people are really starting to care again, and that's very exciting to me.
So if anybody has any questions after this morning's show, how can they get a hold of you? What do they need to do?
Of course, call Greenhouse, 615-494-0499, or just come by and talk to us. But, you know, an interesting thing is a little church that basically started this. They're New Hope Lutheran, and which is the occupational therapy interns were living with some families in New Hope Lutheran Church while they were here. And New Hope Lutheran has had about between 30 and 40 members. They have taken on a couple of families, maybe even more than that now. They're more than doubled their congregation just simply because people get excited about doing something,
you know,
and seeing a difference.
They may be one of the smaller churches, but I think they're one of the most active. I've heard, I think that's where James Adkins goes, and
yes,
he's told
yes,
me
that's
so,
where James
so many
goes.
Stories.
he's the key to all this. He was one that really helped get this put together. Yeah.
Great things happening right here in Murfreesboro for sure.
Is.
Again, our guests today, Christy Sanford and Cliff Sharp with Greenhouse Ministries. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, my pleasure, and we might come back again. And, you know, an interesting thing we talked about, of course, you're part of the homeless HAARC, whatever it is. I can't remember.
Homeless
but, you know,
Alliance of Rutherford County.
But yeah, we're also doing the same thing with specifically homeless people, looking for a point-of-contact person that they can help them with getting the resources they need. So anyway, lots of great things happening in the community.
And that point of contact could be somebody listening this morning. Maybe they've been visiting a certain homeless person every week to drop off food. Well, they would be the key point of contact. They just don't know it yet.
They would. A lot of good things. Hey, we love WGNS. What y'all mean to the community. You're really, really an important cog.
Well, we enjoy doing what we do, just as I know you do as well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having us.